I brought a bow and arrow, and this is a blowgun. I'll mention that in a little bit later. But I want to talk about this bow and this arrow. These are very important to the Yanomami Indians. In fact, if they didn't have these, they wouldn't be able to survive. Little boys have their own bows and arrows by the time they're 4 or 5, and they become hunters by the time they're 8 or 9. I have some video of me hunting with some of these boys. I thought of showing that this morning, but my shot wasn't that good, so I decline. These weapons are made by hand, of course. They're not manufactured. This bow comes from a palm tree, a certain part of the palm tree. This very strong cord is made from the veins of certain jungle leaves that they weave together, and it is extremely strong. I can't even pull it back as far as they do. And then the arrows are very interesting. I lost the arrowhead on this arrow on the way to church this morning. I hope it's at home in the garage. There's a 6-inch arrowhead on this arrow, and it is fired over the Indian's campfire and made very hard, and then there's a bone barb that is attached to it. At this end are feathers from jungle birds, and then the shaft is made from a bamboo shoot, and it's extremely light. It's also very long. As you can see with the arrowhead, it's about 7 feet long. Now, this arrow is of average size. There are some that are longer. It's extremely important that this arrow be straight. If you can sight it here, you can see it. It's a very straight arrow. That's so important because even if you have a very sharp tip and you have perfect feathers and you have a very strong bow, the arrow is not going to go straight unless the shaft is straight. 3 words come to my mind when I think about the Yanomami and their arrows. They are the words pride, protection, and provision. The Indians are very proud of their arrows. They spend a lot of time making these just as accurate as they can. These arrows provide protection for them, protection from their enemies, whether human enemies or animal enemies. And this arrow provides food, provisions for the Indians. Nearly every piece of meat they eat is shot with an arrow like this. They will use it to shoot birds and snakes and fish and monkeys and tapir and anything else that moves. In fact, the difference between a hungry Indian and a full one is how good is his arrow. Pride, protection, and provision. That's what an arrow means to a Yanomami Indian. I want you to keep that in mind as we read a passage of Scripture this morning from Psalm 127. We read the first 2 verses of this psalm last Sunday, but I want to focus on the last 3 verses. But let's read the whole psalm together, and it's up here on the screen, and we'll start with verse 1. Read with me. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. And we noticed last Sunday from those first 2 verses how important it is that we are dependent upon God in our work. A builder or a watchman must be diligent, but diligence is not enough. If God is not involved, the full success will not be there. Even if a person rises up early in the morning and stays up late at night, thinking the more time he spends working, the richer he will get, that is not necessarily the case. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. There comes a point in our life when we have to turn it all over to God and relax. And that's the right thing to do, for that psalm said, He gives sleep to those He loves. It's okay to relax in our relationship with God. But I want you to notice something. The kind of house that Solomon was talking about when he says that you build a house in vain if God is not in it, I don't think is the kind of house you live in, or even a house of the Lord that you worship in. I think he's talking about a home, a family. Unless the Lord builds a home, the parents labor in vain. I get this from the fact that in verse 3, he turns our attention to children. There must be a connection between the house and the children. And says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. You know, that's not the common view in our society today. There are many who consider children a nuisance. Children are being aborted by the thousands every day. They are being abused by the tens of thousands every day. They are being neglected by the millions every day. An increasing percentage of baby busters and Gen Xers are not having children at all because children interfere with their careers. And many who have children are waiting till their late 30s or early 40s and maybe having one or at the most two children. Large families are increasingly rare and are viewed by some people as oddities. But how do we square these modern attitudes with what the Scripture says about children? They are a gift from the hand of the Lord and a reward to His children. In fact, Solomon goes on to say, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Remember what we said a few moments ago about arrows being a source of pride, protection, and provision for parents? I think we should be proud of our children. We should let them know that we are proud of them. We should be as proud as those Indians are as they are making these arrows to spend all the time in the world that is necessary to fashion those children and help them become all that they can be. Children are also a protection for the parents. We usually think of it as the other way around. But in the last verse of this psalm, Solomon indicates that children are a protection for their parents. They're a protection from loneliness, but more so, they're a protection from attack. When a parent is attacked, a child will come to his aid. And the more children a person has, the better off he is. And then there's provision. I believe that God's answer for the social security net is that children would take care of their parents as the parents took care of the children when they were young. I believe that's what God would have. And there's nothing more beautiful to me than to see a child taking care of an aged parent, either in his own home or if it's better for the parent in a nursing home, and communicating regularly with that parent and visiting that parent whenever possible and letting them know they are loved and appreciated. No wonder Solomon says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. The Yanomami don't use quivers for their arrows because their arrows are so long. There's no way you could get those in a quiver. But I brought the quiver this morning for the blowgun. This is a very small quiver, but it has three darts here. I made sure they didn't have any poison on them when I got them. But this little quiver is a place where the arrows are kept safe, or where the darts are kept safe, so that when he's running through the jungle, they don't get messed up or get broken. And the Scriptures tell us that the quiver that is full of children is a blessing to the parents. The man and the woman who have a lot of children are uniquely blessed. We should praise large families, friends, not criticize them. But children, I want to address you for a moment. Remember how important I said it is for a warrior's arrow to be straight? The same is true for children. They must walk the straight path that God has laid out for them in His Word if they are going to be a gift to their parents and a reward to their parents. When a child becomes crooked by lying or stealing or taking drugs or becoming rebellious, or treating his parents with disrespect, That special relationship that God has designed for parent and child will not be realized to its full extent. There's a 17-year-old boy at St. John's Mercy Hospital today who has been fighting for his life all week. The reason he is lying in intensive care over there with many, many broken bones and crushed chest and swollen brain is because he began to walk a crooked path. I do not share this to make it more difficult for John and Phyllis Hain, who are here in this service this morning. I share it with their permission as a warning to other young people to walk the straight path that God has laid out. Kurt is a kid who is deeply loved by his parents and by his sister, but he has often allowed the wrong kind of friends to lead him down a crooked path. Last Monday night, he went out with some friends, and his parents told him what the curfew was, but he wasn't in by then, and they called him on the car phone, and he promised to come home immediately, but he didn't come home. He had dropped out of school. There was drinking. And he was unable to negotiate a sharp curve on Highway 109 and rolled the car right into a telephone pole. And the helicopter was barely able to get him to the hospital in time. He has a long, long recovery ahead of him. The Lord seems to be gracious up to this point and is allowing Kurt to get better each day. But it's going to be a tough road for him to hoe. My heart goes out to the Hain family. And it goes out to Kurt. I pray to God that this will be a wake-up call for him, that he will receive Jesus Christ into his life and begin to walk a straight path. My point in sharing this with you today, young people, is that you would avoid the temptation to walk the crooked path that the world is constantly putting before you, and that you will be straight arrows for God in the safe quiver of the Christian home that God has given to you. One final word to parents. Derek Kidner observes wisely, "It is not untypical of God's gifts that first they are liabilities, or at least responsibilities, before they become obvious assets. The greater their promise, the more likely that these sons will be a handful before they are a quiverful." Yes, parents, our children may be a handful to us. And children, yes, your parents may be a handful to you. But God has given us to each other because he loves us. And we will be happiest when we are allowing him to build the house that is our home. Let's pray.